Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here at YSR. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want to encourage you to join us online at Twitter at eRadioSports. And we pride ourselves on empowering you as a listener. We love to give you a lot of different options. Our show is now airing three different times on the network. You can also go to our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. So the NBA Finals, the recap is going to continue this weekend on our show. And after a 40-year hiatus, the Golden State Warriors are champions again, and they were so strong from start to finish, and they had the NBA's best record in the regular season, so I guess no surprise that they were able to come out on top. It's good to have back with us. We're going to pot up the mic with Joe George, our very own producer tonight, as I know he's very anxious to talk about and recap this amazing final.
Well, thanks for having me on, Elissa. It's always a pleasure. So
absolutely. Well, there were so many highlights from this year's finals. It was a fascinating series. Joe, what was your favorite?
My favorite moment was the fourth quarter of Game 5 when Steph Curry finally put it all together for the first time in the series. It really seemed like he ended up with like 26 points in the game. It was kind of his coming out party because, you know, the Warriors being on the West Coast, everyone knows Steph Curry's the MVP. You see his incredible highlights, like when he crossed up Chris Paul on SportsCenter,
yeah,
things like that. Like great moments where people see those. But this was really kind of the first moment that a national audience got to see Steph Curry in his moment. And he rose to the occasion. I think this was kind of his moment to say that he's one of the next big superstars in the NBA. So that was my favorite moment of the NBA Finals.
Well, it seemed like, Joe, that the Warriors were everybody's favorite. But I have to tell you, I was a little cautiously optimistic because LeBron James, I mean, he really turned up the heat in several of the games. I mean, I think back to one of those performances. He had, 39 points and 16 rebounds in that overtime win.
Yeah, and just think if he would have hit the turnaround jump shot from the baseline in the first game and not put that game to overtime. One, Kyrie Irving doesn't get hurt. And two, they win the game, and they're up 1-0 to start the series, but instead he misses. Yeah, LeBron played incredible this series. He really showed what he's capable of. I mean, he's the greatest player on the planet right now. He definitely is. There's no one that can argue that anymore. Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, they're not even in the conversation. They're all in the conversation for number two. But it's clearly LeBron is the best player in the world right now.
You know, LeBron James, he really did play his heart out. He came up short. Obviously, the Cavs, they just didn't have enough depth, the injured roster. And you were just talking about what he showed you in the series. But I have to wonder, what do you think this series meant for the NBA in terms of energizing the fan base, especially for the younger viewers?
Well, it was nice to see some fresh faces. This is the first time since 1999 that either Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, or Dwayne Wade did not play in the NBA Finals. Since 1999, one of those guys has always been there. So this is the first time since then that's been like that, and that's crazy to think that it's always been Wade, Bryant, or Duncan. So I think this is great for the younger viewers to see the fast tempo, three-point shooting style that everyone loves to play is now the focal point of the NBA. It's not about the big men anymore. And maybe that'll change with this upcoming draft class, but for the younger viewer, this is what they want to see is three-pointers and a lot of scoring.
We are recapping the NBA Finals, celebrating the Golden State Warriors with our producer, Joe George, right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. So another loss for LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Joe, how much does this impact his legacy? Here he is, he's 30 years old, but you have to wonder how many more years left are in the greatest player in the world?
Well, since he came in at 18, it's probably similar to Kobe Bryant's track where Kobe's 36 and looking like he's going to retire at the end of the season this upcoming year. So maybe I think LeBron's got, man, it wouldn't shock me if LeBron put 10 more years out somehow. It really wouldn't, since he's such a freak athlete.
I take it, yeah.
Especially with guys, because I like to compare him to an NFL player with, you know, Peyton Manning playing 40 years. LeBron's got that body style, that build. He could probably play till his late 30s. So what it does for his career, the losses to me don't really mean that much. I think more, I look at Mark Stein's article and the fact that he just, the way he works with coaches, I think that hurts his reputation more. That hurts his legacy more than a loss in the championship does when he had nobody around him. The way he interacted with David Blatt and the way he was coaching the team basically himself really hurts his career.
What do you think the job security is for David Blatt? Because you're talking about just the dysfunction within that relationship.
It's whatever LeBron wants. He's either completely secure because LeBron wants to keep him around, or LeBron wants a new coach and David Blatt's gone. I think it's that simple. So no one really knows. It's up to LeBron. David Griffin came out and said he wouldn't be surprised if LeBron and Kevin Love both opt out of their contracts, but he expects both of them back at the same time. So, and I think a lot of it's going to depend on LeBron can opt out of his contract and say, hey, I won't come back unless you fire David Blatt.
He's got that leverage.
He's got that leverage. He's the greatest player in the world. He can do whatever he wants. So it's all up to LeBron. That's where David Blatt's career resides right now. That's terrible.
Do you think that David Blatt deserves another shot?
Yes, absolutely. I just from what I know about him in Europe, the way that he shuts down Nico Mirotic, you know, the Chicago Bull. Now, Nico was putting up 40-some points a game. He was the LeBron of Europe. And then David Blatt came in and shut him down and won a European championship. And for what they did this year without Kevin Love, without Kyrie Irving in the finals, I know LeBron played great, but David Blatt had to coach too. He had to put the guys in the game and figure it out. And if they were more energized, then maybe they could have done it. So I would give David Blatt another shot. But if not, he'll take a year off from the NBA. He'll be back next year, and I think he'll be okay.
I think it's a bit concerning, though, just the lack of respect. Not just LeBron, but all of the team showed him.
I agree.
I was thinking back to Ernie Johnson in the post-game trophy presentation of the Eastern Conference Finals. And as David Blatt was being interviewed, I mean, none of the players, if you watched behind him, their body language, I mean, they're all talking amongst themselves. They weren't even showing him that level of respect. And I have to tell you, that really bothered me.
Yeah, and I don't think that's on David Blatt as a coach. I don't think that's his fault that he doesn't have the respect of the players.
I don't think it's his fault.
Yeah, you go as the leader goes, and you go as LeBron goes. If LeBron doesn't respect you, then no one else is going to respect you. Eric Spoelstra was like a kid in coaching standards, and LeBron didn't respect him. Pat Riley said, you have to, and LeBron fell in line, and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and they all respected him. LeBron clearly doesn't respect David Blatt. So either the rest of the players, they're going to say, if LeBron doesn't respect you, why do I have to respect you? It's that simple.
Okay, so you're a Chicago guy. Yeah. You think Tom Thibodeau is going to pack his bags and have him doing wind sprints?
No way. That would not work. LeBron couldn't handle the coaching style of Tom
Thibodeau. It seems temperamental and so intense.
Yeah, I think LeBron James he's almost uncoachable, it looks like, at this point. I mean, he needs a coach that he can push around. I think LeBron needs someone that could whip him into shape, but I don't think Tom Thibodeau is that guy. I think Phil Jackson is the kind of coach you're looking for. Not that Phil's going to leave the Knicks, but it wouldn't shock me. But that Phil Jackson kind of someone that he really respects, even like Larry Brown would be a great fit if he wanted to leave SMU. He'd be a great fit for LeBron James. He could really coach him and effectively work with him, I think.
Okay, Joe, but you know, it's one thing to be a superstar, a mega superstar, the MVP of the NBA, but you have to have humility. You've got to have some kind of humility. Does he have it?
I think he does, because I think you look back to the beginning of the season when he signed with Cleveland. He said he didn't do the whole Miami thing again. He said, we may not win a championship our first year. This is going to be a battle. We're going to have to build with this team, and there's going to be a learning curve, and maybe don't expect to win a title the first year. So that showed humility, but then the comment of saying, I'm the best player in the world. At the same time, I know he said that, but part of me thinks the media just agitated him so much. And he just got so frustrated with the media that he just said it. And maybe he didn't mean it. I mean, he knows it, and that's fine. But I think he still is a humble guy, as humble as you can be when you're that great.
Okay, Joe George has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We definitely wanted to have him on for at least one segment. My final question for you, Joe, is what do you think the Cavs need to do in the offseason to get back to the NBA Finals? I mean, you have to think, I mean, Kyrie's going to be healthy. Anderson Varejao is going to be back. LeBron, I mean, they're going to be loaded. And then you have to wonder, you know, what's going to happen with Kevin Love, too?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would get rid of Anderson Varejao.
Why?
Because he's never healthy.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the last time he played a full season. I think he's got still some value, but that contract, if you want to keep Kevin Love and add more pieces, Varejao to me seems like the weak link. You have Tristan Thompson now, who showed up and can play defense. Varejao, he just doesn't play healthy. He's a huge contract for a guy that hasn't played in 3 or 4 years in a full season. So I don't see the point in having him if you're going to keep Kevin Love. I also am not a big fan of Kevin Love. If you could bring in a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, and I know every team in Texas wants him.
Wow.
I think the Mavericks, the Rockets, and the Spurs all have a shot at him. But LaMarcus Aldridge has already kind of indicated that the Cavs would be his second choice after the Blazers or the Spurs. So maybe he's your fit there. I'm not sure what this team can do. I don't think Kevin Love's the right fit. And Varejao's a big contract for me. I think LeBron is okay with Kevin Love leaving, which is a huge hit because they're going to make the second worst trade of all time. And that's Andrew Wiggins.
Okay, Joe George has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You want to stick around because coming up next is Rick Bucher from NBA Sirius XM Radio. We're going to talk some more and recap the NBA Finals.